Please take your seats. Let's continue. Konrad. So let's continue our discussions. I will take up from the agenda the item Schools of Dialogue and would like to invite Marietta to introduce the debate on the Schools of Dialogue.
Dear colleagues, you know quite well that I have introduced this theme a number of times. So this time I am going to make my short presentation to divide it in three parts. First, to give a short summary of what has been done for the last 3 years. Second, what we are going to do and how we are what could be done to realize, to make practical and working the project which concerns the creation of the worldwide net of schools of the dialogue of culture. This is the most difficult problem, but together we can maybe solve something. So first about the results. As you remember, first we made the concept of education, and this concerns the educational problem not for small children, because, for example, in the film you saw how interculturality works with preschool or junior children. Their intercultural education is a very pragmatic way, applied way. It doesn't touch the most important vital problems. And these are the problems of the difference which exists in value systems of different civilizations. And until you know them and until you start to understand what stands behind them, you can't really go in the good dialogue and creative dialogue. So then we prepared the program for the whole course. The next step was to make the book for the teachers. Those who wish to see it, I'll be happy to show it, but the book is in Russian, of course. The book of the teachers, this is the lectures which they can borrow from the book, but what is more important, there are texts, and these texts are illustrations to every part of the book. For example, if it is Buddhist civilization, we give the translation from Buddhist texts, Sanskrit, Pali, etc. If it is it concerns Chinese, it's the translations from not only Lun Yui or Dao De Jing, but many other texts which are very important, and so on and so on. Besides preparing these two books, every year, it is already 3 years, we have 1 week of training for the teachers who teach already this course for the students, school children of the 9th and 10th grade. We had once 40 teachers, now every year we get 20 teachers. And the last time we had, it was very interesting to see master classes. Every teacher gave the masterclass on one of the parts of this book, say on Chinese, on Indian, on Western, on Russian civilization, and so on. And we discussed together the way how they presented this subject to the students. By May this year and by September of school year, the textbook or manual for the children themselves will be published with us. This manual will, of course, accommodate some of the materials which are in this book, but also will make it more attractive to children. There will be different pictures. We shall explain many notions, concepts which they don't know the meaning of that. We shall introduce a number of personalities which are very important, say Hoshi or Radha Krishna or Gandhi and so on and so on. And so that will be the next step. And we are going to continue and to go ahead and to make look into the textbooks which are for the junior grade, so that they make the course of intercultural education a continued one from the beginning till the last classes of schools. What worries me, and I understand you people too, that how to make possible to establish the net school, worldwide net school. I understand the difficulty is that we don't know how to address to the teachers, to the schools. If I write, you know, it will not help. It should be, the address should come from our organization. I think the first thing is to do is to give much more publicity to our project. That could be done through newsletters and also maybe from the journals and newspapers with which you people, the members of coordinating committee, work in your own country. This is the first. The second, there must be some format, some frames, was told by my colleague from Italy, how we introduce. It shouldn't be only the project which the forum introduces. I think it should be something more. What it could be, maybe to ask UNESCO to support us. UNESCO never financially support. I'm sure all of you know that. They always have no money. So we don't need their money, but we need their logo and their moral support. In the very beginning, we had it because we had 1 week of brainstorm session with them, and they're very good. The heads of all the departments of UNESCO participated in that, and from our side, it was 40 teachers and us, those who are in the program. So if we could have logo from us and from UNESCO, that will really be more attractive. There is another, you will do, yes? The colleagues will make some comments because they have some other ideas which may be even better than Giovanni has some, which I have. So this is a frame. The next step is that every of us could really think of in what form this project could be introduced and implemented in their country. I know that Anna already wrote to me that she would like to have it for Serbia. I know the Chinese colleagues are interested, but the Chinese, what they have started to do, it is for the juniors. I think we need for the seniors, students, and for that we need university people to help us. That's why it's very good that we have representatives from Peking University, and which represent the center, which is headed by Dr. Du Weimin, who knows what does it mean to introduce the teaching like that. Then the other, I wish you could give some ideas how we could go ahead. It's the other thing I wanted to mention, that we may have good perspective to introduce the net of these schools in the countries which were former the Soviet Union republics, like Armenia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, because they know Russian and they could use our materials. Then they will do that their own, using their own materials, their own abilities to create the course. But the help will be at least coming in the beginning from us. Armenians are ready, and not only our friend Sarkisian told me, but the Armenians who came for the Rhodes Forum they attended our round table and said they would like to do that. But after that, it's all finished. So everybody is to say what help they need from us and to find out themselves where to go, with whom to speak, and whom to ask to be involved in that. The last thing I want to mention is that it will be good if in the the center which you are going to create in Vienna, for example, if one of the themes which we could discuss and by this way to prepare the basis for intercultural education on the different levels, on higher level, university too, is to have to work on in interculturality in humanities. Interculturality, which means not only learning, understanding the values of the other cultures, but also means epistemological modesty, that, you know, what you think is not the last truth, but understand there could be different truths. And also that helps not only to carry on the dialogue, but it helps to go from the dialogue which is aimed to tolerance and understanding to lead to the higher aim of the dialogue, to bring creativity in finding new paradigm. Why I say that interculturality is needed in the frames of interdisciplinary context, because in all the humanities I have noticed in law, in literature, in arts, in economics, we need this in political sciences and so on. So that is already going on, but that should be some way to organize. So this is one of my suggestions again. I brought example of this teacher's book, but it's in Russian. Yes, I'm sorry about that, but just to show you that we are working. And the course already has been taught. 1 year it was full course, and they continue for the 10th grade this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marietta. Thank you for this very convincing introduction. And I would like to remind you what Fred Almayer wrote to us. We must continue cultivating one of our most innovative projects, the Schools of Dialogue, a project which hopefully can be spread in the future to Asia and other parts of the world. So we have the basis for continuing. And I think we are at a very crucial point of the project. It is so far successful in Russia, was successfully implemented in mainly in the schools of the railway system, as far as I know. We have this teacher's book in Russian. Without having material in other languages, it will be very difficult to spread the idea, even with the support of UNESCO. So we have to think, can we use this Russian book as a basis for a kind of manual in English? It is maybe not the whole book to be translated. Yeah. I know. Because I think the Russian book is more like a curriculum for the teaching. Yeah? The curriculum itself will be different from country to country, but it's kind of skeleton, a kind of a manual how to deal with intercultural education would be very important. Maybe it's one of the first projects for the Vienna Center or for the Academy. Yeah, we can do have a translation of the Russian textbooks, and on the basis of this translation, to draft a manual which can be used everywhere, and on which basis then curricula in the relevant country can be developed. We must also think about kind of, you called it network already, yeah? A network. We need focal points in various countries where we think this idea can be implemented. And then we can go again to UNESCO. For a partnership with UNESCO. Vladimir, perhaps you can answer the question, is our memorandum of understanding with UNESCO still valid, or it, does it have to be renewed?
It's more than valid, because last year in April, there's been a decision of UNESCO to enlarge the scale of their 10-year-long program of rapprochement of cultures, and we are six there are eight huge organizations working for them, and we are number six, and they have invited us to participate in a special meeting in the end of March this year on what could be a smart program in order to facilitate this 10-year program, which seemed to be not working at all. So,
okay.
So the memorandum is there. I've got a letter from a new lady which I don't know how to translate it, which holds the same position as Katerina Stenu, possibly with a little change of the name, but they have invited us
for a
very special meeting. And
okay, next. Yes.
One remark. As far as I know, the course that Marietta Tigranovna has organized in Russian Railways has been already translated into Chinese by the Sun Tzu-Lin Foundation. It has not been officially published, but I can easily get the translation, because the whole book has been translated.
Okay.
I can easily get it and provide it to you if you would like to start.
Great. What is the title of the book in Chinese? I'm sorry.
It's not the book, it's just a translation.
A translation.
And as far as I know, they've been... they brought it to the Ministry of Higher Education, but possibly it's not their sphere of, let's say, interest formally. So there's been no results, but at least they have the translation which they funded themselves. So we can ask for it.
Yeah, I would love to have this. Thank you.
Okay. Jens, please.
I think to get a worldwide network, you should think about the chance to have a digital school of dialogue and internet as a genuine, unique platform. It has the chance for younger people, for intercultural approach, and within the World Public Forum, and in addition, last year, our digital DC.org, I think within the organization, you have enough experiences to help you, to assist you to get a format of a digital dialogue, of a school of dialogue. You should try, I think. It should be the best way of worldwide distribution.
Yes, thank you, Jens. I think there are two possibilities, what you have mentioned. First, there would be a digital school of dialogue, which is open for everybody who is interested. And the second option would be, maybe it's more interesting to train the teachers in a digital way. Yeah? Because then it will be spread in the schools. Yeah? But we also should think about what do we need to address the teachers. Should we go through the state administration, or the administration for the schools, or should we go through universities, pedagogical institutes at the universities? We need some advice. Kamran.
Thank you very much, Walter. Just following on what you said, and what you said, Walter, with regard to the School of Dialogues, it is very close to my heart, and I would like to be able to support it. And two things come to my mind. Last year, I was invited to become a patron of an organization called Human Value Foundation. It's an organization, educational organization, charitable organization in Britain and in many other countries that teaches and trains the children as well as teachers in certain values that they have got to promote, learn, and practice in school and post-school life. If you have got something in English that you can supply me with, I will put you in touch with the director of Human Values Foundation, and I'm sure with their experience of many, many decades of working with this project, they will be a very good help to you, and I will do that with pleasure. Secondly, we have also recently launched a program at the GCGI to assist the youth, which includes also the children, in combating a very tragic rise in youth and children depression. And for that, certain values and certain intercultural understanding is a must. If we can cooperate on that with the Human Values Foundation that we are cooperating already, I think we can do a lot together for the good of the children. So I am here to do anything I can for you if you let me what you want.
Okay, thank you, Kamran. I think it's a good idea to collect partners. Yeah, because maybe to really spread the schools of dialogue everywhere, yeah, and to make it practical, we are too weak, not enough. Yeah, because we have limited capacities to do. Yeah, but if we can find partners, then it'd be possible. But what we can, I think, afford is to create a kind of digital course for teachers. Maybe Raffaele, you have some experience with digital courses, yeah?
Thinking about this, that of course, thinking about this MOOC, you know, this massive online open courses might be an avenue, a more bottom-up avenues. Because of course, I mean, you might think, okay, I contact the Minister of Education of our countries and it's a kind of top-down strategy. Yes, but difficult and slow. The other strategy is bottom-up. I mean, you create a course online, and then you decide whether you want to talk directly to the students or to the professors. Okay, you can decide, or both, I don't know. And then through there, you just pass immediately the message. It's more direct and straightforward. Of course, it is complex or setting up an online course, but it is possible, and there are more and more courses. So actually, it is an option that I would strongly encourage to consider. I think it might really be an option, and especially, I mean, if you want to talk with young people, I have to say that there is no comparison between a printed book and an online course. Sorry to say that, but I mean, this is pretty clear to me, my experience. So, yeah, I encourage to do that.
I believe we should be clear about this dialogue. It involves who? School, pupils, or university students. And this will change the approach of how to undertake this dialogue. Now, I believe that working with governments and ministries is not very productive. And it takes a lot of time and red tape and whatever. Now, perhaps, as you have rightly pointed out, we need partners in various countries and to work either with NGOs or with a local university that can, or maybe a network or whatever it is. Let's start small rather than big, and then this will mushroom and grow. It's much better.
Thank you, Boulos, for your advice. Johannes.
My opinion is the same. I think that the best thing to do would be to find a partner, local partner, even because it's okay to have an app for smartphone. But it's hard to me to believe that a student has as first impulse to download such an app. So I think that you should start rather with having local partners, maybe setting up an event, be it a summer school, be it for example, if we translate the book, I know it sounds old style, old fashioned, having a printed, a paper copy of a book, but if you want to have a future massive impact, I think that School of Dialogue is a school, so we need teachers. And for me, it's necessary to have, for example, for Italy, an Italian version, something in Italian, because it is, of course, is. If we talk about dialogue civilization and cultures, we need at least an Italian version of the book. And then it wouldn't be so difficult to find out a partner, be it an important high school, for example, in capital city in Rome, or a university in Rome, or a department that can be our partner. But just give me the weapons. I need the weapons first. So we had, for example, a summer school in Siena last year with Giulia Kinas and the Youth Time Movement. It was very successful. So it's not that difficult to organize it once we have the weapons.
Thank you, Giovanni. Johannes?
Thank you. My name is Johannes Merck. I have met several of you already in Rhodes. I'm based here in Vienna, and I was invited by Dr. Schwimmer. Well, you, Giovanni, said already something. I wanted to address also the question of languages. I suggest that we at least think about the major UN, languages, so that we are not restricted just to English. I think that's very important. And maybe connected with this, an experience since I have lived many years and worked many years in Latin America, in case we are making the translation, we also identify maybe experts, local experts, who could countercheck up to a certain point the original version in order to make sure that the framework, the cultural framework in which the book or the material is translated will be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Johannes. Fabio, please.
I'm not sure that I know all the aspects of how this project works. But I think it's a very, I mean, I completely understand that it's an interesting idea to, in some way, replicate in other parts of the world. But I think I'm a bit unsure that the translation will work, honestly. Because it's clear that your audience was a Russian audience. And so you speak to them, keeping in mind that it's a Russian audience, and you speak about it. So I think the translation here, in my view, would be the wrong path. It's a, you know, you can't replicate this.
Fabio, what I mentioned was to translate it and use it as a basis for a manual.
I'm not even sure that the basis is the good, because really we talk about these things in very different way depending from where we are located. So, on the contrary, I think you could persuade partners to replicate the model and work in cooperation, sharing your experience, some of your text, some of your best practice. So I think if you really want to talk about the globalization of the project, it's a different project that you need to think about, starting from scratch, and I think it's critical that you identifying some local, identify the regions where you want not to be too ambitious. Region, one region, two regions, and identify the right partners, because in some way they are going to lead in partnership with you. So, that's my thinking.
Okay, it's an interesting aspect. Anna, perhaps you are interested to adapt it in Serbia. Can you tell us what do you expect from us, and what do you expect from the organization? What do you expect from the project to be successful in translating, not in into Serbian? Yeah.
Well, I had idea to start something with this school, but first of all, if I want to introduce to our directors and someone who will be in charge for that, I would need to know more information what you can provide to Serbia, to our directors, to our schools. For example, what kind of activities I can present to our schools, what we have to expect will be, we will have some seminars for professors, we will have some culture events for our pupils. I mean, what kind of activities you would like to have in Serbia just to promote dialogue, School of Dialogues, your school. So if I want to present something to them, I would like to have some general information because I need to have approval. Because if you want to enter in secondary and primary schools, you have to have what kind of activities you will, you need to have. So I don't have that kind of information at all.
Okay. Yes, Fabio is right in a large extent that, of course, the pure translation cannot be used somewhere else. First of all, for technical reasons, because as far as I understood the project in Russia, in the Russian railway schools, they use 1 hour per week for the intercultural education. So it's part of the official educational system there. Yeah? If I have my own country in mind, yeah, it's not possible because it's described by law what has to be done within the 23 hours for the pupils. It's even impossible to introduce 1 hour every day for gymnastics because it's not foreseen in the law. Yeah? So, although it would be very good for the health of the young people, in particular for those who are sitting too much at the computer, at the laptop. Yeah? The law describes a very strict frame for that. So, what can be done here, or in Austria, in Germany, in France, in Italy? Teachers of various fields, yeah, maybe geography, yeah, maybe history, maybe religion, maybe ethics, yeah, can use the idea of intercultural education. And that should be described by the manual, which I have in mind. Yeah? But not to invent the world again and to invent the wheel once again. We can use what is already there. It was my opinion, to use the translation of the Russian book for teachers, what can be used for such a manual, what has to be changed, what has to be adapted, looking out for partners. One natural partner in each country would be the UNESCO Commission. Each country which is member to UNESCO has a national UNESCO Commission. Sometimes as an NGO, sometimes a semi-public institution, sometimes as annex to Ministry of Culture or Ministry of Education, but it is a natural partner, the UNESCO Commission, National UNESCO Commission. So through UNESCO we can address them, and they may find other local partners for such a project. Konrad, I think you asked for
Listening to you now, there comes an idea, looking at the German situation. We have a big discussion and we have high sophisticated programs in intercultural education focusing on the migration situation, on immigrants. And there are immigrants not only from Turkey, not only from Africa, not only from Syria, but also, for instance, in Berlin, there are living more than 100,000 Russians, and the children go to school, and there are Russian schools in Berlin. And that could be, an entrance door to bring it into the discussion and into the society, but it would have to be linked with one of the main, say, education research organizations. In Germany we call them Max Planck Institute, that are institutes which feed the didactic and education discussion with new ideas. And so I think in that field it could be an entrance, but just transfer a Russian approach with a very different didactic and pedagogic approach into the German with a translation that would not work. Also in the administration system, as you said, we have also very strict rules by the regional governments on what to do in schools or not, but in specific fields, as you said.
Thank you, Konrad. Vladimir?
I would like to draw your attention that this is not the traditional Russian project. The idea of intercultural education has not been born in Russia, as well as the didactics of this textbook. It belongs to European culture. I think it much more to Bradel or some other people who've been doing this for dozens of years before us. So what we did, we adapted the already existing European model to Russian specifics. It has nothing to do with what you say, an idea to, let's say, bring the Russian experience in Europe. No, it's we tried it on Russian soil. It works. We have certain results. We can show them. And it's, in essence and in logics, it's much more European. And this is why it has not been adopted officially by the government of Russian Federation. It could be used only in the system of schools that we have in Russian railways, because the standards are, we could influence the standards. So please do not look at it as a, you know, Russian invention. It has not. It's been invented, as far as I know, about 100 years ago, and it worked in an old system of education. So possibly, this could be the byproduct of this very textbook. We could translate the basics into any language, but not the textbook itself. It's an implication.
Okay. I think that's clear. I think Арам, yes, please.
Спасибо. Я только что просмотрел просто заголовки и должен сказать, что очень серьезная работа проведена.
Thank you very much. I just walked through the textbook and I must admit that a very serious work was done.
И чтобы не повторяться, абсолютно согласен с Владимиром Куликовым.
What was told before, I totally agree with what Mr. Kulikov said.
Это большая часть европейской культуры, которая сейчас в этом учебнике рассмотрена. А практически я хотел бы предложить следующий вариант.
Textbook. What would I like to suggest?
Я собираюсь вот по возвращению договориться с педагогическим институтом армянским.
When I return to my homeland, to Armenia, I will talk to the Armenian Pedagogical University.
Где ректор достаточно современный и креативный человек.
Where the rector is quite modern and up-to-date person.
И мы попробуем через нашу общественную организацию и союз
с
университетом
this program with universities and
подготовить в первую очередь преподавателей,
train the teachers,
а после чего уже перейти на, так сказать, на тот уровень, который необходимо образовать.
And then after we will step forward to another level where we will implement the ideas of the textbook in practice.
Это будущие учителя, и они уже как раз уйдут в школы и будут там преподавать.
Are the future lecturers for the schools who will after that go to the schools directly and teach the course to the peoples.
Практических методов этой деятельности.
That's one of the practical outcomes which I could support too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aram. Ms. Chen, please.
Yes, the School of Dialogue has been the core of my research for many years. I was born in China, but I was educated in the United States for almost 20 years. And I once conducted a survey or comparative studies in terms of the general education and reading, classical reading programs in three major areas. In the United States, I surveyed the reading classical programs and the general education curriculum in Harvard University, Yale University, and Columbia University. And in Asian University, I examined the Seoul University and the Hong Kong University's general education programs and the universities in China, Tsinghua, Beida, and Fudan. So such comparative studies, you know, shows that the, because my concern, my central concern is about how students at higher education level, they look at themselves and the world around, how they look at other cultures. So that is my interest and my inquiry. And the funding shows that most students, the overemphasis of Western civilizations in the curriculum while leaving the other civilizations, for example, Asian or Islamic civilizations as blank and as discernible, really cause some negative implications. Though we know that in the States, in the United States, there are great models of liberal education, of general education, like Robert Harkin's great books programs in early 30s at UChicago and Harvard's core curriculum programs, and like general education at Columbia University. But we have to admit that when they talk about general education, West just simply means to the world. And it's not the, we could ask if general education truly general, because other civilizations are just marginalized to somewhere invisible. And the interesting thing is, even in Asian universities and in Chinese universities, the curriculum also has the same tendency. And I also do a survey at Peking University where I worked, students from different departments, and I did a survey with a questionnaire, and I include five themes in my questionnaire. The first is about awareness of crisis, understanding of the West, relationship between civilizations, and humans to education. So the funding shows that students, they feel like, they answer me that they say, okay, this survey encourage us and push us to think more about ourselves and the people around us and even the world. But we are unsure about the to what degree the inter-civilizational dialogues could be conducted in depth and could be sustained to a large extent. So we could say for them, they hold this kind of doubt. They are not very sure, not very confident about this trend. That is my sharing. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Walter. In fact, following what our Chinese colleague has just said, I experienced the same thing in South Asia, in India in particular, because, as you know, there was a proposal made by your colleague at UNESCO to introduce this in the Indian curriculum, and it was taken through a Mahatma Gandhi Institute, which probably was not the right channel, in my opinion, because some of those organizations are bureaucratic and they don't have a direct access. On the other hand, there is a proposal which, in fact, is exposed in an article in the World Affairs Journal, which I think has been or will be given to you today. And this proposal comes to the Ministry of Education. It's exactly in this direction, how to make all students from even middle school level aware of the other religious and cultural traditions of other communities. Because so far it's been neglected in the name of secularism, that everyone should keep his traditions at home and not interfere with common teaching. And instead, the idea is to have an exposure of everyone to other cultures. And as you just said, it's true that many organizations are not very comfortable with that because they feel that their followers will lose some of their own certainty and will start thinking in other ways. And, you know, many communities don't like that. They want to keep their people in their corner. So we have to do an in-depth work to familiarize people with the concept of intercultural training and exchange. Thank you.
Thank you, Com. I think we have to deal with this project at various levels. One level, and Com referred to the Indian educational system. One level is, of course, the official educational system in each country, yeah? Which should participate in the intercultural education. We should foresee it in the system, but to be honest, that's a very long way. I think we have to go just through UNESCO, proposing that UNESCO makes it a program that each member country of UNESCO has in its educational system a part for intercultural education. Maybe we will see the results in 10, 15 years. Second level is the existing educational system, the teachers there, which we can address through partners, who we can address through digital systems, the digital course, and short manual, maybe in several languages, where we have a chance really to address teachers. If we have a chance, we should do it in Italian. If we have a chance to do it in French, in France, in Belgium, in French, in Spanish, Latin America is a very important region too. And the third level is really to address pupils of the 9th and 10th grade, maybe also to a digital offer, where they can participate in a course on interculturality, and to learn more about our cultures, our civilizations. And of course, it's complex. As Konrad said, in Germany, it's seen mainly from the point of immigration. Our countries, maybe in Russia too, because you have also a lot of migrants. Russia has in itself, of course, a lot of ethnicities and various cultural traditions. So that differs from country to country. For example, it came to mind, not very serious, when Konrad spoke about the migrants. You will never guess who is the biggest migrant group in Austria. You know, Konrad?
Yes, I know.
The Germans. Okay, so Kamran,
Thank you very much. What you said, it is truly very important. I see the rise of nationalism and right-wing ideology and philosophies penetrating Europe. For example, in England, at this very moment in Britain, this has become a law. The British schools, the children, they all have got to be taught what it is called the British values. This is a problem because many schools are not only British, they are intercultural children. And when you go and teach them the British values, from the very beginning, there is animosity and rejection. So the question and the concept and the idea of intercultural education is very important. So now we have got to have a brainstorming session, how best to take this concept to others, because time is ripe for the application of intercultural education. For me, the best thing that can happen is an executive summary of this book. What is the School of Dialogue all about? What we are trying to achieve? What we have achieved? What the result is? And not more than 10 pages. And secondly, I agree with what Fabio said. We have got to find local partners who know the local tradition, culture, needs, etc., and ask them, invite them to come partners, knowing their needs and culture and tradition, how we can take this School of Dialogue forward. That, I think, would be very positive. Thank you.
Okay, Kamran. I think we will come to discuss the research center in Vienna. It could be one of the first tasks. Stock taking, what is already there because, like what Konrad mentioned, from Max Planck Institute in Germany, there are for sure several other examples too, plus the strong Russian experience in the railway schools of Russia, plus the textbook, which is more or less unique for the moment, from which we can have an adapted excerpt, yeah? Not word to word, but use it what is there already, because we don't have to invent the wheel once again. And then to decide how we can start with digital offers. Yeah? Course for teachers, for example, but also a more popular course where everybody can participate and to get more intercultural knowledge. Yes, please.
May I stress one point? It seems to me, I doesn't read this book, but I hear Margarita and look a little bit. Maybe what is very important, it's not only a dialogue between different knowledge about Buddhism, Muslim, Christian tradition, British, or experience from French or Russia. But it's not only knowledge, but it's also an understanding of different, maybe, mode of life. It's not only idea of Buddhism, but it's mode of life of Buddha or the man who pray to Buddha or should be guided by such values. It's the same about Christian or Muslim or some different ideas or ethnos. And if you can see in other people not only different ideas, different knowledge, but also people, men, women, you should respect it. And it should be a base for dialogue, despite the difference in knowledge, despite the difference in history and so on. And it seems to me, I doesn't read this book, but obligatory I hope to do this, that it's really a unique experience, or unique approach, because in Eastern tradition, teacher, it's not only people who give for students some ideas or some knowledge. It's a man who share by his soul experience, by his life, and help him to live in this world. So I think it was presented, it was done by Margarita in these books, but her experience of teaching in school in Russia. And so it will be very important, because if you can see another man, people, despite the difference on ideas, on knowledge, you will respect him. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Krepach. It's very clear. Intercultural education is not an aim in itself. There's an overall goal, and the overall goal is mutual respect and mutual understanding of people, of different traditions, different religions. At the end, they should respect each other. They should respect the different traditions, the different beliefs, yeah? And should understand the other one. But this is the goal, yeah? And the intercultural education is the way to achieve this goal. Okay, we will, Vladimir, we will sum up that and use it as a proposal to the presidency and in the context of the Vienna Research Institute. Okay, can we conclude this debate now? Marietta, do you want to?
Thank you. I am very much pleased and impressed by your participation and reaction to the development of our project. It means that everybody expressed interest, and nobody really is left untouched by the ideas, though different ideas have been shared. So one thing I want to point out the most important for me points. First, the translation of the textbook, if it is translated, it should be translated not this book, but the text, the manual which we are preparing for children. But even if it is because it will be ready by the by September. But even if we translate it and spread around the different readers, we don't expect to follow our methods of teaching. You are quite right that this is the textbook manual for our children. For children who live with particular ethnic, religious children around, with particular group of immigrants who know, who have particular neighbors of our country. So the orientation for us is one, the orientation for everybody else will be different. So we share the views, but we are not going to impose them. That's first. At the same time, everyone knows when we do research in our fields, we always read different literature so that to see different opinions, and then we make our own opinion. So maybe from this point of view, the translation could be useful, only from this point of view. Even in the republics, former republics of the Soviet Union, they shouldn't follow our sample, because Muslims will write different, Armenians will write differently, and so on and so on. The second point which I wanted to take your attention to is that I would prefer us to avoid to apply for the support to the state, be the Minister of Education, Minister of Culture, and so on. They are very, very slow and very, very conservative. It is because of that this project is implemented not in the state schools, but in the schools which belong to railways, where the president is Vladimir Yakunin, and whose idea it was from the very beginning, and who is not afraid to introduce this program. In fact, when I was asked to participate in that, one of my conditions was that I don't want to get the permissions for every point of the book from the Ministry of Education, because I know how difficult it will be for me, and particularly for my colleagues, to compromise or to do. We expressed our idea as we think them, and we shared them only with teachers, and only the teachers are good critics for us, because they know the children, they know the families of the children, and so on and so on. So that's why I like the idea to which has been expressed by a number of you here, that we should act locally. We think globally, but we should act locally, really. Because with small groups, with particular situation, it will be clear. And we should also apply to private foundations, you know, private institutions, not to the state ones. Then it will be easier for us. The third point, concerning the format and the logo. Logo is very important. You know, the UNESCO chain philosophy is the only one in Russia which exists at our institute, and of which I am a founder and shareholder. When the idea was introduced by director of the institute, I said, why should I be involved in that? I couldn't understand. Why should I spend my time and everything? She said, oh, no, you know, UNESCO will give us money. So UNESCO never gave us money. And still, I'm very happy that we started. You know, even when you say you put on your papers logo or you explain, you know, it makes different impression of the people. So that's why I think if you speak, Vladimir Igorovich, with UNESCO and succeed in getting some at least moral support from them, that will be really great. Summer schools, yeah.
We were in Vienna, and there was Katerina.
Katerina was very good, but she left.
She left.
Okay, because I remember she complained, almost complained of the fact that UNESCO was not mentioned more visibly in your project.
I mentioned, this time I mentioned.
So it's very strange.
They want to be mentioned, well, we shall mention them, but I mean, they never helped us, in fact. And I'm afraid they never even read what we wrote to them. Yeah. But she's not there, but she was good. Okay. Now, about the summer schools or something like that, I think the summer schools, we shouldn't make summer schools for children. We are not yet ready for that. What will be good if we have a kind of a summer school for the teachers who are interested in this teaching? And what if we, Vladimir Igorovich, that's for you too. What if we use RODOS, next RODOS, for having round table, not as a round table, but a small summer school inviting teachers with the help of our colleagues, the teachers who are interested in working on this program, who could share with us their ideas, how they are going to work on that. That will be, I think, maybe the good beginning, and then we should go
Marietta,
further.
May I a little bit modify your proposal? I would not address the teachers at our level, but pedagogical institutes, in pedagogical universities.
What's that?
But there are so many teachers, and we can invite such a small group. We need institutions which disseminate the idea.
It depends. I don't know what kind of pedagogical institutes you have. I wouldn't ask ours.
So, you know, the same problem that Marietta... But anyway, it can be a beginning. I think it's an... I second your ideas.
We should,
you know,
make
the Rhodes Conference
steps,
is a great opportunity to have also a brainstorming almost session along the lines of what Cameron was saying. I think it will be great start. I second it. I think it's an excellent idea.
I'm sorry, but I really am afraid of all big organizations, state organizations, because once they intervene, they dictate, you know, they dictate. I know that, for example, after Perestroika started, we were asked by the Ministry of Education to prepare new standards of teaching philosophy at the universities. So we were about 10 person worked in the country place with different ideas. We put that on the paper. We forward that to the Ministry of Education. My personal task was to change the orientation of teaching philosophy as only Western philosophy. To say that it's not the only cradle of philosophy in the world, and so introduce philosophy not as Hegel made it, just to mention and then say, well, of course, there was some beginning, but it does. The Eastern philosophies do not belong to the history of philosophy. That's the way how the textbook, even at the university, even in the Moscow State University, are written and published even nowadays. They start in the beginning, they mention Indian and Chinese philosophy in the ancient time, and then, like, there were no medieval time, new time, nothing happened with them. Just, you know, in the beginning there was something, but not more. Do you think that any of my ideas or the ideas of those who suggested philosophy of sciences or so on and so on had been included in normatives? Nothing. They paid us, but they didn't include it in the program. So since that time, I decided, no, thank you, I'll better work with Kulikova-Dazis.
Okay, thank you, Marietta, I can fully understand you. But sometimes we need the state and state institutions. As I said before, sometimes it takes a long time. It was in the year 2000 when I was Secretary General of the Council of Europe. I recommend it to the Conference of European Ministers of Education to introduce a Holocaust Memorial Day. And I recommend it to make the 27th of January the date of the liberation of Auschwitz by the Red Army, the Holocaust Memorial Day. At that time, not everybody agreed, but in the meantime, it is decided by United Nations that it's the 27th of January, and this year it was a really worldwide celebration of this day, 15 years later. Good things take some time.
That's true.
And in particular with state administrations, they are, of course, very reluctant, sometimes lazy, but at the end, we need them. Ms. Chen.
Yeah, probably I talked too much. Just one thing I really agree to you is, before I came here, I had a chance to talk to the current president of UNESCO, President Haoping, Mr. Haoping. Yeah, he's the current president of UNESCO, and I just made a joke. I said, what are the hardest part of your job? He said, immediately, looking for money. So that you are right. UNESCO couldn't really support financially to this. But the good thing is, we did talk a lot about this intercivilizational dialogues, and UNESCO will host a conference in this November. The running title is like the development of young people in the globalized society. So I'm just thinking, came into my mind, probably we could introduce this project of School of Dialogues to this conference to kind of represent and see what chances, potential chances we could find to support us. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent advice. Yeah, excellent recommendation. Michael.
Thank you, Walter. I'd like to find out how Marietta solved the problems of historic points in your manual, because Walter mentioned that Auschwitz was liberated by the Red Army, but last year we heard that Serbia was liberated by the Ukrainians, and even the Auschwitz was liberated by the Ukrainian army. So we have some problems in interpretation of history and changing the history. And how could we possibly prevent the historic differences in interpretation?
The Ukrainian events, by the way, not only them, but they in particular, prompted me to say that we need interdisciplinary, intercultural studies and intercultural teaching. If we teach only one course, it's not enough. But if you teach literature, keeping in mind that, you know, different contribution of different literatures to the world heritage. If you teach history interculturally, then you will introduce the problems, the complexity of these relations, and so on. That is to what you say, it is to historians to teach history in that way. By the way, the educational division of railway stations asked me to look into the textbook for the grade 5-7, which has been prepared by Moscow State University and other scholars on dialogue of cultures. It is called Dialogue of Cultures, but the way they introduce that is historical. But I found out that in that textbook, there was no balance in presenting different kind of phobias we had in Russia. There was mostly critics of Russian and showed how Russians were bad towards, I don't know, Polish, Ukrainians, Muslims, etc., without showing the opposite reaction, the opposite reactions. So I think even if we show that, we are to make it balanced and historically full, you know, yet full. But I think for the students, the children of the fifth and seventh grades, it's too early. It's too early. So let's not involve them in that.
But, you know, the problem is that in American schools, our Russian children who are studying there, having fights with American ones and other nations' children, because in official historic propaganda, the United States, the American army liberated Europe and won in this war. Now we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of the victory over the Nazism and Japanese militarism, and even in Europe, most thinking that the United States won the this war and put their flag on the Reichstag, etc., etc. So now we are facing the fight between lie and truth, and there's more propaganda and ideologic points in it. So when we are talking about teaching children to even different cultures and religions, it's such a sensitive issue that who will tell the story on Christianity? A Christian professor or teacher or a Muslim one? Who will be listening to this story?
Or an atheistic one.
Yeah. Or an atheist or boy who is comes from the religious family. So there are so many sensitive issues that must be solved.
Sensitive, but the teachers told us when we meet with them every year, they told us that with the children they don't have problems because the way how we present the material and how they teach, it's to give to present different culture in the most positive, friendly way to show they are different, but it does mean that they are bad. And it does mean that our ideas are the best one, so not of that. So the children are very creatively take this idea. More than that, many of them, and I noticed that with my students, they say, oh, you know, we never thought of Islam the way you talk to us about, because they always thought of Islam in the context of the events which happen nowadays, that they don't know what is really Islamic culture and philosophy and so on means. So children like that. The problems we have, the teacher said to me, they have with the parents.
Oh, yeah.
So they are to explain to the parents why they teach these courses. So it doesn't mean that the children should give up Christianity or give up Buddhism and so on and so on. So that's why this kind of education is not only for children, it's it's more than that.
But now I want to stop our ambitions. Of course, you are right. One should educate the parents, but this is more complex and more complicated. I have now three requests for the floor. Cemal?
In this regard, I'm quite agree with Mikhail about the history textbooks to teach the values and the dialogue. I can talk about Turkey. Unfortunately, for many decades, we had a number of hatred speech in our history books, even in our literature books, and especially about Russians, in general about Christians, especially about Armenians, about Greek Orthodox. Fortunately, one of my friends became Minister of Education 10 years ago, whose name is Hussein Çelik. He organized a kind of workshop, and he removed all hatred speech about our neighbors from the textbook, But I'm not sure about Russia, if they still keep the some hatred speech about Turks, about Islam, or I'm not sure about our Italian friends. Still, they say "Mamma mia, li Turchi." I don't know, but in this case, really, the history books and textbooks, even literature books in the school, very important. Unfortunately, we have. Unfortunately, we go to history just to bring the argument to fight nowadays, to fight each other, to use against each other. But the textbooks, especially history books, was very helpful for us and to fight the argument, the dangerous argument. So we have to consider this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cemal. Yeah, absolutely right. History textbooks used in schools are quite important. We had already common reviews of textbooks with Turkey, we had common review of textbooks Austria and Italy. Yeah, so to eliminate everything which creates stereotypes or prejudices. Yeah, this is very important. And Mikhail, Russia should do that with the United States of America. Fabio, you were the next, and then it's Boulos.
I think now the discussion is very intellectually interesting because many important issues are raised. And I think I just wanted to reflect on this fact that it's interesting to see that now this issue of intercultural education in all the different disciplines is even reaching, the issue of high school teenager education, and I think it's very important. I mean, the good things is that, as you were mentioning, and as other people around the table know, I mean, in terms of the scientific debates in the university, we are at a turning point. You know, comparative philosophy, comparative political theory. I mean, Fred Dallmayr is one of the fathers of this. It's about really rethink men. And also history, there is all this new field of global history, which is trying to rewrite, also history from a non-Eurocentric perspective. So it's interesting to see that there is so much happening and that this is also trickling down, to the school level. It's a challenge because, they are children, but I really think you're right. And there are, all these important question about, there is always a perspective, a viewpoint, I agree. But I think that, in good faith and with good work, there is a way of passing to children exactly along this line. Not an objective history, that's impossible, but one at least that is done with an empathic, sympathetic attitude toward the others and the history of the others. And I think it's very important.
Thank you. Boulos?
I would like to go back to the suggestion that perhaps a panel or something else can be done within the Rhodes Forum. To be able to make this a concrete suggestion, now I think that the discussion that we had now has touched upon one of the most important issues on the planet. The issue of dialogue, the issue of preconceived ideas, the issue of accepting the other, the issue of educating the youth. So I would like to make a concrete suggestion for the Rhodes Forum. Perhaps we can have a panel, workshop panel, what we can agree on the format, and to it would be invited people in various countries that are already engaging in dialogue. Maybe they have their NGOs, maybe they have their own experiences, they may be professors, they may be religious leaders, whatever it is. And we could send to them a working document that has a few ideas. And we will ask them to think about them, perhaps send responses beforehand, so that we can issue a document, a practical document, on how to proceed after the Rhodes Forum
to implement this, whether with UNESCO or not with UNESCO, in whatever way the Rhodes Forum can suggest that the path can lead to.
Now, it has to be interdisciplinary, because that I wanted to make as a concluding remark. Intercultural education is not a very specific field of education. It should be a general principle. No? You need it in geography as well as in history, in religion, in ethics, in economy, wherever. You are touching differences of traditions, differences of civilizations, of cultures. It must be a principle not to concentrate on the own civilization or tradition, but to include what is there in this field of education in other civilizations, in other cultures. This is a very ambitious goal which we have. I think we also have some practical ideas. Okay. We need some ambition to succeed at the very end. Maybe we have some practical ideas which can be implemented.
Very practical. Why don't we invite teachers' trade unions in the meeting in Vienna?
Why not? Okay. So, thank you very much. We can conclude the debate on the Schools of Dialogue. It was very intensive, much more intensive than in years before. As I said, we are at a crucial point, and we really have now to deliver and come from words to deeds. So it's time for lunch, and at 2 o'clock we will resume our meeting and continue.